All right, hey, welcome back. This is the I'm Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network. www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning, March 19th, 2025. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. I hope it is great wherever you are at. It's actually beautiful. Sun's up, clouds are gone, the wind is gone. It's been blowing like a freaking hurricane here. It's beautiful out. Just wearing a t-shirt and some pants, of course, but no jacket. Feels good. Just got back from getting a haircut. Things are looking up. It has been a rough month of March, and I think even the end of February was kind of crummy. I've been sick. I got a cold, and then I got better, and then I got sick again. I think I had COVID. I don't even know. I did not get tested, but man, it beat my lungs up pretty good, and it definitely took out my motivation and my desire to participate and all that good stuff. And I've been feeling pretty crummy, pretty lazy, and pretty withdrawn. And yeah, not been great, but I'm feeling better. Physically, I've been feeling better, but mentally, probably about a week ago today, in fact, I remember saying, oh, I think I feel better. You know, I started feeling better. For the last 4 weeks, if I had an hour, I wanted to take a nap. And I don't want to do that anymore. I'm feeling like I want to participate a little more. So it's good to be back. Sorry if you missed the podcast. I tried a few times, just have not been feeling well. And as easy as I make this podcast seem, just kidding. It actually is quite a bit of, it's mental. And if I'm not right upstairs, it's hard to do the podcast. So I thought I'd come up here and see if I could put something together, and we'll see how it goes. And I can tell you the other thing, though, man, the politics lately has been disgusting, and I'm sick of it. I'm sick of the politics, and I hope this country can get their shit together, even though it feels like good things are happening, right? But it's important to have that other voice, right? It's important to have another opinion, and the opinions are so bad now that it's hard. When the opinions are so bad, you just block them out, and that's not good. It's not a good place to be, and you know, I hope we can get our shit together, because it's been really, you know, it's been a bummer.
Always so right, and go ahead and dream, go ahead and believe that we are the children.
Chosen One. Nope. The Last Stop. Dave Matthews Live. I don't know, somewhere. Live in Georgia. Oh, no, The Gorge. The Gorge. So, yeah, politics has been really annoying. It sucks. I love politics. I love the conversation. But, man, it's gotten crazy, and I'm just, you know, it's a bummer. It's really a bummer. We need two voices. You know what? I like Trump. I like what he's doing. But I wish the opposition had a reasonable voice, right? Instead of acting like lunatics. That's his word, not mine. But, yeah, it's just a mess, man. We need to get our shit together so we can have good conversations so that we keep moving forward. Too much winning is not good. Too much winning is not good. But, yeah, so what's been going on? I have been doing a lot. You know, I've been doing something different that I haven't usually done. And I'm sponsoring people. And I was sponsoring four guys. And one of the guys went off the radar. I haven't seen him. So I'm assuming it's not good. But, you know, sometimes we have to go through that. The other three guys, two of the guys are new. One guy has 4 months, and one guy is getting ready to have 2 months. And we've been meeting every Sunday morning at my house and reading. And it's really cool, man. I've really been enjoying it. 1 week I had to skip it because I was sick, so that was a couple weeks ago. But we did meet this past Sunday, and we read the third step. And so we've read the first, the second, and the third step. And it's been really cool, man. You know, I've done this a long time. It's funny, you know, when I came into the program, I was just kind of participating. I'm just like, I'm here. And it's nice so many years later to sit back and really read the first three steps and understand how important they are. What a great stepping stone into the rest of the steps, right? We're powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity and turn our will and our lives over to the care of a God of our understanding. And you know, I went to the other thing I'm doing, I'm trying to find I'm getting bored with the meetings I'm going to, so I started going to a Monday meeting at noon instead of the Monday meeting at night, and it's a big book meeting, and it's been, you know, it was great. It was nice. Didn't have to leave the house at night, and we read, I don't even know, I'm sorry, I don't know what we read, but it was a long story, and it was sort of, I think it was like Bill's best friend. I don't know. One of their, you know, those first few people that, you know, were involved, you know, in getting the program together and writing the steps and all that stuff. I think at this point in the story, the steps weren't even written. I mean, it was early. But at one point in the story, it talks about how the guy had entered the university to appease his father. And out of the whole story that was read, that's what I heard, right? Because that wrapped me up in a nutshell. Entered the university to appease his father. And that was my whole story growing up. You know, everything I did was to appease my father and get the heat off my back. And it just is it's a weird way to start your life, right? I mean, looking back now, that's all fear. Everything I did early on was based in fear. Right. As soon as my eyes opened, the alarm clock went off, the fear rolled in, and everything I did was just how much do I have to do to keep from being yelled at or how much do I have to do to get by? And, you know, that's a tough existence, and it's really tough when you're doing it and you don't even realize it. Right. And that's how my life was. And, you know, and we've been talking, my friends and I have been, you know, doing a lot of reading and talking about the first step. And the first step has been on my mind a lot. I might have talked about it one of the last podcasts I did. Because, you know, I think about when I came into the program, and I've shared this and I'm going to share it again, but, you know, I got sober drunk, right? I came into the program drunk. I was drunk and I was beat up and I was in a hospital and they took me upstairs and AA came and found me and I just went with the program. But, you know, I thought, well, geez, I must be an alcoholic, right, because I'm here. And, you know, it wouldn't be the case, and I would drink. And I think it was because I didn't really separate the two between my behavior on alcohol and what happens when I put alcohol in my mouth. And they're two different things. And I came into the program on behavior alone, right? I mean, it was recovery and behavior had come together, right, in the hospital. My behavior and recovery. I was a heaven and hell, right? And had I not gone to the hospital that night, would I even be here today? I don't know. Would my life be the way it is today? No, it wouldn't be. And I said yes when the lady asked me, and they swooped me upstairs, and that would begin the journey. But like, you know, I've said before, drinking it after 5 years was always because I don't think that I had admitted that I was powerless over alcohol. I had admitted that my life had become unmanageable, but to admit that I was powerless over alcohol, and if I said this the other day, I'm sorry, I'm still coming out of the fog. But I used to say all the time, if I could sit on the couch and drink vodka and watch SportsCenter, I'd probably still be drinking. Which means, right, which means that I didn't really have a problem with alcohol in my mind. It was the behavior. And I think a lot of people come into the program on behavior, right? I don't think people come into the program and go, geez, whenever I have a drink, I just can't stop. I can't stop. And I couldn't stop. I used to, that whole thing used to blow me away, you know. And I think if you're in recovery or if you're struggling and you're, you know, you're that real alcoholic, you've probably thought about it. Isn't it weird? You know, I don't know how many of us have, you know, a typical night for me would be, I would go to work. I would get off work. I would go by my parents' house. I would have a couple beers out of their fridge. And then I would go to the liquor store. And I would always be like, I would just buy a pint, right? Just a half pint. I don't know. Sometimes I'd be like, I'm not drinking a lot tonight, right? I'm not going to drink that much tonight. I'll just buy one of these small little bottles of vodka. And that way I'll just have a couple drinks, go to bed, and I'll feel better in the morning. Because unfortunately, I never woke up with a hangover. I used to just wake up drunk. And I wasn't really a blackout drinker either. So there would be definitely mornings I wasn't sure what I did the last night. But, you know, I know people that as soon as they drink, they just slip off into blackout zone. But I would be like, I'm just going to have a little bottle, just a little bottle tonight, and we'll just keep it simple. We'll stay in. Yeah, right. As soon as the fucking drink went in my mouth, I couldn't stop, right? I'd be like enjoying the drink, and then I would have the second drink, and then I'd be like, shit. I need to go to the liquor store. And then I'd be driving down the damn road. Luckily, I live in a small town, so the liquor store wasn't far. I could have walked there, right? But not me, not Tom. I had to drive my car to the liquor store. And I'd probably buy another little pint, right? Or I might buy the bigger pint. And I guess, I don't even know what they are. Was it a half pint, a pint, liter, something? But I just, and then I would, and then after, you know, over time, I'd be like, you know, it's weird, man, but if I intend to not drink a lot, and then once I start drinking, I just drink more and more. And so it is a real problem. I don't think, you know, I think this happens with people that eat, you know, gambling, all of the deadly sins, right? The gluttony, right? Some people, for me, it's vodka, right? But some people, they start eating, and they can't stop eating. They make a bet, and they can't stop betting. They, you know, chase women, and they can't stop chasing women. Whatever it is, right? Some people, it just hits them different. And for me, it's vodka. And if I, like, I'm like, well, I won't drink vodka. Let's drink rum. I would drink some rum, and then I'd get enough of a buzz going on to make me switch back over to vodka. Everything led to vodka. And it was crazy, but I never really, I mean, as much as I was aware of it when I got sober, because I didn't come into the program that night because I just couldn't stop drinking, right? I came into the program that night because I got in a fight. You know, my life was unmanageable, and it was unmanageable to so many different people. And I would just So when I came in the program, I'm like, I must be an alcoholic because I got stitches again. And even though I knew, right, when I drink, I can't stop, I didn't focus on it. And so sitting down with these guys and reading this, these first three steps, you know, I've been able to share with them. I go, you know, it's, and, you know, 50 days, right? How, like at some point, and I've shared before, you know, if someone had come up and said, this is the secret, man, you got to do this and this and this, and you'll have years of recovery. I don't think it's possible. Unfortunately, and speaking just for myself, I had to go through all of this. And so there's part of me that wants to say, like, guys, check it out, man. You got to recognize the difference between what happens when you drink and the difference between the behavior once we drink, right? Because they're two different things, right? And so part of me, like, wants to help them recognize it so they don't drink after 5 years or drink in a year or whatever it is. But there's also part of me that's like, you know, we all have to kind of go through this to learn. So we become educated and wiser and we start to understand. So, you know, I'm not like, this is what you got to do. But I am saying, you know, for me, right, I didn't really do that. I didn't really separate the two. I just came in because, you know, when I was in the hospital, but whether it was the night before yelling with my neighbors or the night before drinking and driving, all of my behavior, my behavior used to wear me out. I mean, it really, see, this is what happens. This is what starts happening. But my behavior, I paid a lot more attention to my behavior than I did once I started drinking that I couldn't stop. Totally two different things. Like I said before, like if I could sit on the couch and drink vodka and not leave the room, you know, I'd still be drinking, but I don't, right? And so all of it, that and, you know, the fact that when I do drink, I head out on the highway, all of it was a big-ass mess. But what I paid mostly attention to was my behavior. And I don't know if that's why I drink, you know. But I do love the fact of the first three steps, right? And I didn't understand them. I just thought it was three steps. Here they are. But today I look at these first three steps, and it's really the foundation, right? If we can be honest, rigorously honest, you know, and really try to do our best in the first three steps, it should be a good start to the 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th, and 12th, right? But it's just hard to really do the first three steps, right? And so, like I was telling the guys, but I was saying, you know, a few weeks ago, I'm just starting to understand that I didn't really do the first step really well. I mean, this, you know, however many years it's been, I'm starting to recognize it. So I'm still learning, right? I'm still want to be teachable. And, you know, and then we go into that second step, you know, and it's hard to explain to them, but I can say as a person today, you know, that intuition, you know, my behavior, you know, I have pretty good behavior 90% of the time, right? 10% of my behavior, you know, can be questionable. And when it is questionable, I feel it, right? And I feel like that's how God talks through me, through intuition and feeling and guilt and joy, right? And, you know, I just have to pay attention. When I start feeling that feeling, you know, like, oh, Tom, you know, what are you doing? You know, that's God talking to me, right? Trying to keep me in the lane, right? It doesn't have to be a God on the mountain, right? It doesn't have to be a voice. It's just a feeling, right? Like I was telling those guys the other day, I go, and I've said this so many times, but in the end, it's really just about being a good person, right? And my buddy goes to church, and I said, they're the same thing. You know, church, at the end, they just want you to be a good person. They actually want you to be a really, 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 really good person. And that means publicly and privately. And our problem, though, is that, and, you know, that was always my hang-up with church is that, you know, I can go to church, I can, you know, ask for forgiveness and walk out the door and sin. And according to them, I had headed right to hell. And I'm like, if this is the case, I'm just going to do whatever I want to do, and I'll deal with the repercussions later. If it's of eternity and burning lava, then that is what it'll be. But today, right, I can be a really good person, and when I have problems, right, I can feel God speaking through me, and I can adjust my course, right? I don't have to be like, oh, I'm headed to hell, right? It's just about being a very good person. And you know, the tough part is the privately. And but over time we work on it, right? Because we get sick of feeling like shit. We get sick of God poking us. Hey, dude, you're doing that again, right? How many times are you going to do that? And but nobody sees it, right? It's private. No one knows. And but I know everybody out there has publicly and privately. And but we start understanding that relationship with God, the God that I, you know, God of our understanding, right? Not the God, and I love that, of our understanding, because what I understood before was a very punishing God, very judgmental God, and I just didn't feel like I fit in with that God. But today, a God of my understanding is, and what I'm understanding, is that when I get off my course, I will feel it in my heart, in my chest, in my gut, right? Those intuitions, like, you know, and honestly, you know, today, I feel it before I even do it. Right before that happens, I can usually feel like, you know, is this something you want to head towards? Let's not do it. Let's, you know, let's avoid this. And that's awesome, right? Because it allows me to be just a very, very good person publicly and privately. And then we have the third step, which is really, you know, turning our will and our lives over the care of a God. Oh, did I screw it up? I did. Or did I? Whatever. Turn our will, our lives over to the care of a God of our understanding. And, you know, like I said, and I shared with those guys the other day, man, those first years, I really did not understand the third step. Turning our will and our lives over to God? I didn't understand it. But today, right, it's just making better choices and how it reflects in our life. And then when we do that long enough, right, when we continue to make good choices and it reflects in our life and we do that long enough, when we make a bad choice, we feel it, right? I feel it. I feel it in my gut. And that's God working for me. What was the second step? Jesus. Came to believe that Jesus. Oh, brother, I can't remember anything. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. That's right. Yep. Well, and that's... You know, and we talked about this the other day, you know, it's doing the same thing over expecting different results, right, is the definition of insanity. Well, when we start, at some point we start going, geez, am I going to do this again? I'm talking about it. I must be feeling it. God must be talking to me, hopefully redirecting me so that we do not continue to do the same thing over and getting the same results, which is bad. And so these first three steps are just, they're just fantastic. You know, I think... it's a great stepping stone into the rest of the steps. And, yeah. But I had to be sober a long time to figure this all out and start recognizing it and seeing how it plays in my life. But one of the things that, you know, I was talking, you know, I'll just be, you know, doing something and I'll have an idea. And I should write it down, right? It would give me things to talk about, but I forget. My memory is going. I have fried my brain over the years. And I'm starting to feel the repercussions of it. But you know, there, I'll have ideas. And one of the ideas that I did remember was, you know, I need to just lighten up sometimes, you know, this last with the politics and all the shit that's going on. I'm becoming too serious, right? I need to lighten up a bit. And, you know, we're going to make mistakes. We're going to say things, we're going to do things. We're not perfect. You know, one of the problems that people have, and I have the same problem, is that when I got into recovery and work on recovery, you know, it's constant evaluation of myself, right? And, you know, hopefully over time we get better so that we're not having to constantly go, you shouldn't have done that, right? Shouldn't have done that. You know better, you shouldn't have done that. But it is still trying to, for me at least, try to stay centered on the beam. You know, what's my motivation? One of the things with the politics that's been going on that I'm starting to get sick of is this, all this, you know, and I like Trump. I like what he's doing. And it's just every day I like what he's doing. I like what he's doing. And there's no real decent pushback or opposing conversation that makes sense. And it's just been too much winning. And I'm just like, you know, I'm sick of it. I'm sick of, I'm having to just sort of step back from politics. Let the people that have been elected do what they want, they're going to do. And I'm just going to sit back and, take care of myself and my family and try not to get too caught up in it. But it's been a lot. And, you know, trying to stay centered on the beam, but at the same time not be like, you know, winning. And it's just been, it's been a rough month. So, but hey, it's good to be back. I'll read the daily reflections, and then I'm going to try to get back into, you know, back into a regularly scheduled program. I have to try to figure out, you know, my problem is that I want to try to be educational. And I got to remind myself, this is not what this podcast is. It's just a guy trying to stay sober one day at a time and how these steps and the program work in my life on a daily basis. And sometimes I feel like going through the steps and trying to educate, and I just can't do that. It's not me. It's not what people want. People don't want to be educated. I think the reality is that it's just a guy trying to stay sober on a daily basis. And it's tough. The odds are against us, so I just have to remind myself of that. Sometimes I take myself too seriously, and if I'm not, like, you know, sounding like some sort of professional, I don't want to do the podcast, and I'm not a professional, just a guy. All right, daily reflections, and then I'm going to play this song out. It's such a good song. It's a long song, though. It's like 8 more minutes. Listen, turn it off, whatever you want to do, but this is the last stop. Oh, and the other thing. My father, oh my gosh, I feel like my dad's dying, and real quick, I have to remind myself, this has been a lot, you know. August, my dad got sick. Up until August, my dad had been coming over to our house 3 days a week, and I'm so grateful that I have made the effort with my family to be a part of my parents' life. In the end, right? When my mom was sick, we were going over there every weekend, cooking her breakfast, spending time, bringing the grandkids over. Spent a lot of time with my mom before she passed away. And we've been doing the same thing with my dad, or I have been. Sam and Teresa went with me. We took him some art last weekend. But we've been spending a lot of time with my dad. And, I'm really grateful for that. And, it's just been, but since August, man, when he got sick, it's just been a freaking whirlwind. And I've shared a lot of it in the podcast. You know, the financial stuff has been a challenge. It's been a real whirlwind, man. I have not, you know, I'll probably look back in a couple years and be like, man, what a tough year that was. But I went and saw my dad today. He's not doing good. He doesn't want to participate. He was out of it. In fact, he thought he died, and he looks like he's dying. And to be honest with you, I don't want to sound cold, but you know, part of me wishes he would die, so he will be relieved from this misery, and he can go on to the next part of his life because he is going to heaven. He's a great man. He's not perfect, but he was a great father to us and a great husband and a great employee. Served our country. He was a colonel. And he was just a top shelf man. Love that guy. And it breaks my heart, but it also breaks my heart to see him like this. And so, pass, man. Go be with mom. Go do your thing and be free of the burden of the body. But of course, I've been reflecting and thinking back all, you know. After I went up and saw him today, it was really tough because... I've noticed he's getting worse, and I made chili. There's a guy, a buddy up there that they eat together, and I always take him chili. And when I got there, another person at the VA had died, and they were lining the halls with all the people in the veterans home. And then I went back and saw my dad, and he was just out of it. And so I went back up. I was going to try to see if I could talk to a nurse or something, and... ended up at the hall, and the hall was lined with all the veterans, and they were playing, the music, and they walked by with a casket with the American flag draped over it, and the family, and it was really a bummer, but at the same time, really awesome, right? What a way to go, And so that was this, and then trying to get, went and saw my dad, and he's just out of it, man. And I'm like, all right, usually I try to get him up and get him out for lunch or something, but he was just, he didn't even know where he was at. And I said, all right, Dad, well, I'm going to go. I'll call you tonight. And I left. And, you know, I called my brother. I'm like, Todd, I don't know, man. It's not looking good. So hopefully, I don't know what I'm going to hope for. Honestly, I hope my father passes away and goes to heaven and goes and finds my mom. And, you know, they live happily ever after in the clouds. That's what I would like to see. Because what he's doing right now is breaking my heart. And, yeah. So we'll see. All right. Here we go. March 19th, Daily Reflections. Prayer, it works. It has been well said that almost the only scoffers at prayer are those who never tried it enough. 12 steps, 12 traditions. Having grown up in an agnostic household, I felt somewhat foolish when I first tried praying. I knew there was a higher power working in my life. How else was I staying sober? But I certainly wasn't convinced he, she, it wanted to hear my prayers. People who had what I wanted said prayer was an important part of practicing the program. So I persevered with a commitment to daily prayer. With a commitment to daily prayer, I was amazed to find myself becoming more serene and comfortable with my place in the world. In other words, life became easier and less of a struggle. I'm still not sure who or what listens to my prayers, but I never stop saying them for the simple reason that they work. Yeah. You know, it's about humility. Well, this is my opinion. This is how it feels for me. It's about humility, because there's a devil. There's always that voice. It's like, don't pray. That's silly, right? Nobody listens, right? Nobody cares. And it's the humility. And my buddy Matt used to say, never ask for anything in a prayer. Just recognize. And I've said that before, and that's how I pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for keeping me another day sober. Watch over us tonight as we sleep. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. And then I have the other prayer. Dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning this over to you. I have two prayers. Those are them. Dear Lord, my shoulders are not big enough, and I'm turning this over to you. And it's just me recognizing that self's trying to do everything, and that's bad, because self is the devil. And when self's running the show, it is a spiritual imbalance. It's a spiritual malady. And, you know, I definitely believe in prayer, but I also, you know, I've seen people that pray for things. They want things fixed, and that's, yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. But I hope this made any sense. I'm just, this is one of those podcasts I just got to do to get through. I hope everyone's having a great day. Thanks for letting me share. I'm going to play this whole song. It's long, so turn it off if you want, but have a great day. Bye-bye.
Yeah.